This is a CBC podcast.
You're listening to The Morning Edition on CBC Radio 1, 102.5 FM in Regina and 540 AM right across this great province.
That's The Morning Edition host Stephanie Langenegger. I am Adam Hunter in for Stephanie this week. Thanks for being with us. Well, on Monday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau confirmed what many had been expecting. He announced he would step down as leader, but will stay on until a new leader is chosen. This all comes as President-elect Donald Trump threatens tariffs and calls Canada the 51st state. To break it all down, we are rejoined by this week's political panel. Murray Madrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. We're also joined by Jeremy Symes, who covers the legislature for the Canadian Press. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
So, Jeremy, what did Saskatchewan's premier and opposition leader have to say about this news regarding the prime minister?
Yeah, NDP opposition leader Carla Beck came out with this statement pretty quickly after Trudeau's resignation announcement. She says it's time for stability, and she also shares the frustration from Saskatchewan residents, from residents across Canada, that internal politics with the Liberal Party has become the focus when we really should be focusing on more of these pressing issues of these tariffs that President-elect Donald Trump is proposing, the 25% tariff on all Canadian goods. She says that's not good for Saskatchewan's economy, and that's where we should be focusing our attention. She also says we can't wait for the Liberals to get their house in order, and people can't wait for a federal election campaign to be called while all this is coming down the pipe. Now, Premier Scott Moe made his statement about a day later, and he says it's time for the country to go into an election immediately. He says suspending Parliament for the Liberals to select a new leader does not give Canadians the choice they deserve or desire. But he also says Saskatchewan is working on its plans to address these issues, speaking with U.S. counterparts, and also kind of addressing some of those border security issues that Trump has also called for.
And Murray, it's not often that we hear Premier Moe so tight-lipped when it comes to the topic of Prime Minister Trudeau, but a very short statement, as Jeremy alluded to there. What do you make of the reactions from the leaders here in the province?
Well, normally I admire brevity because I don't possess it, but I've never seen a prime minister leave office with so little fanfare and so much side eye in terms of his departure. It's bizarre to me, and I think it's sort of reflective, as Jeremy said, of the times, partly because we are in the middle of a crisis, and I don't think there should actually be floats and parades for Justin Trudeau leaving. There's a lot of people who are seeing this as good riddance to bad rubbish, and I think both political leaders, particularly Scott Moe, are picking up on the theme. Probably would have been actually more bizarre for him to say something kind at this point in his career about Justin Trudeau, given Scott Moe's career has fed off hammering Trudeau from day one, and the "just watch me" comment. Now there's no one to watch in terms, and that's going to be the more interesting thing. But I think the silence is actually a good thing because anything provincial politicians add to the problems federally right now is not helpful to the Conservatives, who I think Scott Moe really wants to help. And anything said related to the bigger issue related to tariffs seems equally unhelpful at this particular point. So actually, I kind of admire Scott Moe for basically choosing to choosing his words carefully, and perhaps not going the route that Brad Wall did, which was an out launch on Justin Trudeau. There's been enough of that. It seems a little redundant at this particular point. So maybe saying very little has actually been a good thing.
And Jeremy, we haven't seen the premier in a while, but he has said, as you mentioned, the country needs this united message when it comes to the tariff threats made by the incoming president. What's the most recent threat from Trump, and how have Canadian leaders responded to this?
Yeah, so this is something that made headlines this week. This whole idea of Canada becoming a 51st state that the president-elect seems to be proposing right now. A reporter asked him, would you use military force to take over Canada? He said no, but he would use economic force, and we're still trying to figure out what that means. But Canadian leaders responded quite quickly to this. We had Prime Minister Trudeau saying there's no snowball's chance in hell that Canada is going to become a 51st state. We had Pierre Poilievre, the conservative leader, saying we're not going to become a 51st state, period. And Jagmeet Singh of the NDP also said that. Now, Trudeau Trudeau was also on the news this week, and he was saying this idea of a 51st state from Trump seems like a distraction tactic, maybe from these tariff issues he's proposing. Again, he's saying we do need that united front. Maybe we're going to work on some countermeasures to those tariffs. And just to deal with some of those issues coming.
And Murray, you wrote a column about this. What's your take on how these Trump threats are being handled?
There's only one good thing about it. And we've seen this as Canadians have set aside our constant bickering and nastiness that it has become our internal politics to focus on something else. And that's what it is to be Canadian, why this threat should be taken seriously. We're dealing with the third most powerful man on earth, or third most powerful, I guess, if now I think about it, when you add in Elon Musk and Putin. You basically are dealing with someone who has the capacity to do significant damage to any other country. And that's beyond economic. He's talking about military threats in relation to Greenland and Panama, which is hugely problematic. Greenland is owned by Denmark, which is a NATO ally. So you have to wonder about the instability that is being created and why it's being created here. Once again, I'm very glad the provincial politicians, to a large extent, are staying out of this and keeping out of the line of fire, because most anything you can add is a bad thing. But everything that people have added has mostly been a good thing. When else do you have Maxime Bernier and Pierre Poilievre and Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau all agreeing on something? And that's a remarkable thing as a Canadian. We can't agree on anything other than the fact that we're not Americans and we often don't like what they do. And sometimes that's important. Sometimes maybe if that's the only definition we have as a national identity, at least we have that. And I think it's important. And from that standpoint, in a weird and twisted way, I think Donald Trump has been a very unifying factor for Canadians.
Yeah, it's been, as Jeremy mentioned, you had Trudeau on CNN. He's going to be on MSNBC. You've seen Doug Ford and Danielle Smith on Fox News over the last number of days. We're going to switch gears here, Jeremy, and this may have gotten to the radar, but a political party in Saskatchewan is in need of a new leader. What's happening?
Yeah, so this is the Saskatchewan United Party. John Remick, he was the leader of this party, but he announced that he is no longer going to be the leader. The Saskatchewan United Party was this kind of upstart party, came up 2 years ago in response to the kind of anti-vaccine, COVID mandate issues, and was seen a bit more right-leaning than the Saskatchewan Party. And we've seen some kind of former Saskatchewan Party members involved in this party. We've seen the Saskatchewan United Party also have some influence on the Saskatchewan Party, whether that's on mostly the pronoun, school pronoun issue. So John Remick, the leader of this party, they didn't do so great in the last election, and so he's taking a step back. But he is now saying he's interested in becoming the Saskatchewan Party leader. So we'll see what he does with that. Obviously, the Saskatchewan Party needs to have a leadership convention. Premier Scott Moe needs to decide what he's going to do if we ever get to that point. But yeah, we'll see what he does.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me, Murray, because that job currently isn't open. It's not like the Liberal leadership race. Yeah. What's the significance of this by Mr. Remick?
Well, I think the race is on, whether Scott Moe knows it or not. I'm not 100%. We're seeing a massive change in Scott Moe's office in terms of staff leaving. So there already are signs of change within, and Scott Moe has hardly made a commitment to sticking around for the 2028 election. Everybody thought it might be a little bit later than sooner if he does decide to go. But John Remick is brilliantly positioned from a couple perspectives, actually. He has money. He no longer has a party that no longer exists. But while Jeremy is dead on that they didn't do particularly well, like electorally, they certainly were influential in the pronoun policy, the change room policy, all the things that drove Scott Moe further to the right. And there is an appetite not only within the Sask Party for that, but outside the Sask Party. And understand that anybody can vote in a Sask Party leadership race just by simply taking out a member. So if those disaffected former Sask Party members, and some of them ran for the Sask United in this election, all of a sudden coalesce around John Remick, it could be interesting. It could be very interesting. interesting for a few other places. I keep my eye on Bronwyn Ayre, who seems to be strangely politically active for someone who's not politically active. I think that the advantage that someone like Remick has is he doesn't have to play by the same rules of politely waiting for the minister or the premier, in this case, to announce his official resignation to start his campaign. And that gives him a bit of a leg up. And he's already shown an ability to raise money for political events, albeit sometimes his own money. But I think he's wildly ambitious, and I think this signifies the start of some race at some form.
What do you think this means for the Saskatchewan United Party now? This is their second leader in less than
they're
a year.
Dead. Yeah, they're dead in the water, as Jeremy says. They were always just a vehicle for influence, sort of a freedom wing of the SAS party itself. They've driven the party further right, and I think that it fits perfectly in terms of the notion that there would be almost what would amount to a merger, unofficially or otherwise. But these people are going to be looking for a home, and what better home to find than basically moving to the SAS party and exercising their influence directly to move it further to the right, as opposed to somewhat indirectly as they have been doing.
Murray, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Jeremy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.